Okay, good morning. Today's daf is daf Samach Gimel. And we actually are up to that at the very bottom of Samach Beis, Amud Beis. Gufu we learned before, starting now today's daf. Rab Ami said, Zibeach v'kikir v'niseich behelam echad, if someone slaughters an animal, burns incense, plus pours libations in one state of forgetting, enochayev ela achas. He's only obligated to bring a single korban chatat. He has to bring only a single sin offering, because it's all one sin. And even though these are different activities, slaughtering is not the same thing as burning incense. It's all in one verse. Amar Abaye, Abaye explained, my time with Rab Ami. What's the reasoning of Rab Ami that he doesn't say Hishtachava? The fact that the Torah mentioned don't bow is lachalik, is to say that each activity is its own separate sin. Amar Krak, as the Pasuk says, Lo Savdim, and do not worship them in the plural tense. So that's to say that all the different activities are included in one. Hakasav asan kulan avoda achas. The Torah makes all of these different activities a single act of service. And therefore, since it's all a single act of service, even though he did multiple acts, because it's included in one pasuk, that pasuk is to say there's only one karban.
What did he do, Rabbi? Did he sacrifice an animal?
He slaughtered the animal, plus okay. He burned incense, plus he poured, let's say, the blood on the altar of the idol. He did three things. He still only has to bring one karban because of a pasuk.
Only a Kohen Gadol is allowed to do this. Is that right?
No, this is to an idol.
Oh, to an idol.
A person does this to an idol. He brings one sacrifice. He did it by mistake.
And are we talking about where he forgot that he wasn't all of Avodah Zarah's also, or he forgot each of them independently?
He forgot these things independently.
It wasn't that he thought he was allowed, that this wasn't an idol or something.
Correct.
So it's different than what we learned about Shabbos.
Yes. It's based on the pasuk.
Why did they let him so cheap?
Because of the pasuk. Because the pasuk says, Lo Savdim in the plural tense, don't worship them. That's to teach you that multiple acts of worship are included all in one verse. It's all one prohibition. Asks the Gemara, Umi Amar Abaye, Hachi, did Abaye say this? Is Abaye agreeing with Rab Ami? V'hamar Abaye, but we know that Abaye himself says, Shalosh Hishtachavos Bavodas Kochav Lama. Why does the Torah say in three different places, don't bow to idols? It says Los Hishtachavel Lohem, it says Ki Los Hishtachavel Le'el Acher, and it says Los Hishtachavel Le'elohehem. So why three? So Abaye says like this, Achas L'kadarka. One is to say you're not allowed to bow to an idol if that's the way to worship the idol. The Achas, the second verse, is to teach me Shalok Kedarka, that even if it's not the way to worship an idol, it's still prohibited. Let's say Pa'or or Marcellus, the way to worship them is by going to the bathroom or throwing stones at them. So no, the Pasuk is saying that even bowing to them is also prohibited. The Achas, and the third, L'chalik, the third time that it says Ishtachava, don't bow, is to teach me that if you did multiple activities, you did slaughtering and pouring the wine libations and burning incense, you would be responsible for each activity on its own. So that's against Rab Ami, because Rab Ami says if you do three activities, you only have to bring one sin offering. But Abaye says that the Pasuk, one of the reasons why it says Hishtachava, one of the verses that it says don't bow, is to say that each activity is judged separately. So the Gemara answers, no, L'dvar of Rab Ami Kama. Rab Abaye was explaining the logic of Rab Ami. Why does Rab Ami hold that if you do three activities, you don't have to bring three sacrifices? It's because he interprets the words Lo Savdim to teach you that. But Le Lo Sfirle, but he, Abaye, doesn't agree to it, because Abaye himself actually holds that since it says Hishtachava three times, one of them is to teach me that they don't all get included in one karban, but that each activity counts on its own. Yeah, question. No.
So it's different answers whether you get multiple lashes if you do something or from carbon notes.
Yep. Gufa, we just learned. Amar Abaye, Abaye said, Shalosh Ishtachavos, Bavodas Kochavim Lamali. Why are there three verses, three different sentences, each one telling me not to bow to an idol? So, Ari, I think the slichos should be upstairs. Yeah, because we have the slichos books there, and then come down for the minyan. Sure. So why do we need three? Achas l'kedarka. One is to tell me, don't bow. One would be put to death for bowing to an idol when it's the normal way of worshiping that idol through bowing. Achas, the second time it says don't bow, is to say that shelo kedarka, even if this idol is not normally worshipped by bowing, let's say this idol is worshipped by stoning or by defecating, there's still a prohibition to bow. And thirdly, biachas l'chalik. And one is to say that if a person did multiple activities, so he would get, you have to bring multiple karbanos. So 1 second, the Gemara asked, l'kedarka, why do I need a pasuk to tell me don't bow to the idol if that's the way it's normally worshipped? There's another verse that says that. Eicha yavdu agoyim ha'ela. How are these nations worshipping their god, Nafka? That's the source. Ella, so you have to say like this, according to Abaye. Achas kedarka v'shalo kedarka. One time it says don't bow, it's to say if this idol is served in a respectful way, but not through bowing, some other respectful way, you're not allowed to bow. That's okay. V'achas, and then another verse that says don't bow, to say that even if this idol is served in a disrespectful way, shelo kedarka, you still can't bow. Let's say it's pa'or or markalis, you still can't bow to it. V'achas, and the third is l'chalik, is to say that if you did multiple activities, you have to bring multiple karbanos. Okay, now going on to the Mishnah. The Mishnah had said, what is the law is that one who worships idols, that's a crime that he would be stoned for. So the Mishnah gave a whole series of scenarios where a person would have done something that deserves to be stoned. Ha'oved, which we want to understand, what does it mean? Ha'oved, is it Oved Me'av or Me'ira? And we say in conclusion, oh, Ha'oved means somebody who worships in the normal way. And then it said, one who slaughters, one who burns incense, one who bows, one who, then it said, somebody who says to the idol, Eliata, someone who says away from the idol that he's Makablo Alav Ke'aloha, he accepts him as a god. So he, in all of these cases, that's idolatry and he deserves to be stoned. All right, so now we're going to discuss the person who says about the idol that the idol is his god. Mishnah says, Makablo Alav Ke'aloha, if somebody accepts the idol as a god, either outside of the presence of the idol or directly to the idol, Omer lo, he tells the idol, Eliata, you are my God. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Baravu, Amar Rav. Rav Nachman said in the name of Rabba, the son of Avu, in the name of Rav. Kevan she'amar lo Eliata chayev. If a person says to the idol, you are my God, so now he is guilty. And he now is responsible. Lemai, in what way is he responsible? Iliktala, if you're telling me that once he tells an idol, you are my God, now he's guilty and he deserves to die. Masnisini, that's the Mishnah. The Mishnah is giving examples of how a person would be obligated in stoning. Elul karban, must be that it's a reference to having to bring a karban if he did it by mistake. Vafil rabbanan, is this true even according to the rabbanan? So there is an argument between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Akiva in the Sechta Krisus in regards to a person who curses God. So there's no action in cursing God, it's just words. So is saying words considered an action? We had this discussion with Baruch a couple of months ago. But in Halacha, words are generally not considered an action. An action is to do something with your body. speech is not considered an action. But Rabbi Akiva says that if a person, you know, said words of curses to God, that is an action, because he bends his lips and he moves his teeth. So that's also considered an action. And he has to bring a karban. And the Rabbanan disagree. The Rabbanan say, no, a person who curses God, he didn't do an action, it ain't bo masa, and therefore he doesn't have to bring a karban if he does it by mistake. For a time we lived in a braisa, eino chayiv, el al davar sheyesh bo maisa, kagon zibuach v'kitur v'nitzach v'ishtach hava. The sages say, we learned in a braisa, though it says it explicitly, one would only have to bring a karban for idolatry by mistake if he did an action, such as slaughter, burning incense, pouring the wine libations in front of an idol, or bowing to the idol. The Amar Rish Lakish, Rish Lakish said, that's what the Brisa says, Man tani ishtachava, who is the opinion that says that bowing to the idol is already reason to, it's considered an action, Rabbi Akiva he, it's Rabbi Akiva, Amar lo b'inan maisa, says you don't even need a full action to bring a karban, just words of cursing Hashem is also an action to be obligated in karban. So then also bowing, which is not a real action, is also enough to have to bring a karban. Michlal, that implies the Rabbanan sabi, that according to the Rabbanan, b'inan maisa, you need a full-fledged action. Bowing wouldn't be enough to have to bring a karban, nor would bowing wouldn't be enough to bring a karban, nor would cursing Hashem be enough to bring a karban. Good morning, good morning. So, answer the Gemara, Ki kama Rav Nami, Rabbi Akiva kama. Yeah, when Rav says that a person who says the words, Eliata, he would have to bring a karban, that's according to Rabbi Akiva. So Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva, according to Rabbi Akiva, Pshita, it's obvious. Haine Megadif, that's the same thing Rabbi Akiva taught about cursing God. Rabbi Akiva said that someone who says the words of cursing God by mistake already did an action and he has to bring a karban. So certainly he would say that saying words Eliata to an idol is an action. He has to bring a karban. So the question says, no. Now the Tam would have thought, Ad kan l'machayv Rabbi Akiva karban el b'magadev t'chsiv be'karis. Maybe Rabbi Akiva only obligates a karban with a mini action in regards to someone who curses God, because the Torah says explicitly that if somebody curses God on purpose, he gets the punishment of kares. Therefore, if you do it by mistake, he should have to bring a karban. Avalach, but over here, to lo ksiv be kares, where the Torah doesn't say explicitly that there's a punishment of kares. Emalo. So I would think that maybe for bowing, there is no karban. Kamashman, so that's the point. Diskushe iskash, because cursing God is compared to all the acts of worshipping idols. The Chassidus, the Torah says, Vayishtachavu lo, and they bowed to him, Vayizbuchu lo, and they offered sacrifices to him. This is a reference to the golden calf. They bowed to the golden calf, they offered sacrifices to the golden calf. Vayomru, and they said, Eile Elohecha, Asher Elucha, Meretz Mitzrayim. These are your gods who took you out of Egypt. So you see that the saying, these are your gods, is linked in the pasuk to slaughter and to bowing, and therefore they all could obligate bringing a karban. Okay. Amar Reb Yochanan. Reb Yochanan said, going now to discuss a little bit the golden calf. As we all know, Moshe Rabbeinu is late. The people expect him to come back. And he doesn't come when they thought he was going to come. So they panic. They go to Aaron. They say, we need a new God. Aaron says, okay, come back tomorrow, thinking that by then Moshe would be there. And Moshe's still not there the next day. And Aaron tries to delay them. He says, get gold from your wives. The men bring their own gold. And it gets thrown into the fire, and out comes a golden calf, and the people start to bow and to offer offerings, and they say, these are your gods who took you out of Egypt, in the plural tense. Amar Rav Yochanan, Rav Yochanan said, Il male vav shebe ha'elucha, if not for their vav, in the word ha'elucha, in the plural tense, had the people said, Eile Elohecha, She'elcha. This is your God who lifted you in the singular tense. The Jewish people would have been deserving of destruction. The enemies of the Jews. So, Avi, the Slichos books are upstairs. So they're going to say Slichos upstairs and then come down for Minyan. So there is the prohibition of Shituf. That's not as bad as straight idolatry. Straight idolatry is to completely deny God. When they worshipped the golden calf, it was idolatry plus. They were saying God plus an idol. So since they were saying, we believe in God who took us out of Egypt, we believe in the God of Abraham, but we have other gods too, this golden calf, that's how they were able to survive. But had they said in the singular tense, this is your God who took you out of Egypt, so then they would have been deserving of destruction. So the truth is, not everybody agrees to that. Ki Tanoi, this is an argument of the Tanoim. Acherim Omrim, Acherim, that's a reference to Rabbi Meir. Others say, Ilmale Vav Shebehelucha, if not for the fact that the Jews said the word, these gods who took you out in the plural tense, Nishaivu Rishayim Shal Yisrael Klaya, the enemies of the Jews, namely the Jews, would have been deserving of destruction. Amler Bshim Ben Yochai, Bshim Ben Yochai disagreed. He said, no, Valo Kol Meshatav Shem Shemayim V'Davar Achrin Ekam and Olam. If somebody says God's name plus an idolatry, he does deserve to be destroyed. Shanam, as the verse says, Bilti Lashem Levada, we should be exclusively for God. Elamatam Olomar Asher Elucha, so what is the verse telling you that they said in the plural tense, these are your gods who took you out? So they were deserving of destruction. They almost were destroyed. It's just that God's mercy didn't destroy us. It's not that it was less of a sin because it was God plus another God, but rather, She'ivu Eloz Harbe, they said, these are your gods who took you out of Egypt. That's to express the fact that while they were celebrating and cavorting and offering sacrifices to the golden calf, they really wanted lots of idolatries. They just happened to be worshipping this one, but they really wanted a lot. Then the Mishnah goes on to say, upstairs at the minyan. The Mishnah goes on to say that idolatry that causes the death penalty is sacrifices and incense and those things. But if somebody just shows the idol respect, such as by hugging it, or kissing the idol, or sweeping around it, or tidying up by sprinkling water around the idols so that the dust shouldn't rise on it. So this is a prohibition, but it doesn't carry the death penalty unless that's the way to serve the idol. All right, says the Gemara, Kiyasa Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Bavel to Israel, he said, Amar Rabbi Lazar, he said the name of Rabbi Lazar, Al Kulam Loke, for all the things mentioned in the Mishnah, hugging the idol, kissing the idol, sweeping in front of the idol, getting all the dust to rest in front of the idol, he would get lashes, chutz mehanoder b'shmo v'makayim b'shmo, except for making a vow or swearing in the name of the idol. Yes?
I'm sorry. What is the difference between B'nai Israel Machshava to the Christian? What is the difference? They believe Hashem, and they say, He is now...
So presumably they are similar to what the Jews did at the Golden Calf at Shituf, where they are including others besides God. It's not just God. Yeah. So there are some, the Meiri, who says that for the Christians, maybe Christianity is not Avodah Zarah. That's what the Meiri says.
A few days ago we learned a person can be considered an idol, an Agashter, an idol.
Yeah.
That would be Avodah Zarah.
Yeah, but they presumably also still have some relationship to the God of Israel. We're just adding, saying somebody else is also divine and helps out, etc. So going back, though, again, the Mishnah says that certain acts of respect, like hugging, the act of bowing to an idol, even though it's not the way to worship this idol, since there's a separate verse, creates the death penalty. But other acts of respect, like hugging or kissing or sweeping, are prohibited. So Rav Dimi says, well, maybe they're prohibited, but you'd still get lashes for it. Then the Mishnah said another thing prohibited was not to swear in the name of the idol. So the Gemara now says, for that, you wouldn't get lashes. So the Gemara says, but why? Why make such a distinction within the Mishnah? Mishnah, no de b'shmo v'amakayim b'shmo de lo laki. What's different about taking a vow in the name of the idol or swearing in the name of the idol where there's no lashes? B'shem de havali lav shein bo maisa. Because that's a prohibition that doesn't have an act. What's the prohibition? The Torah says, as we'll see later, v'shem Elohim achirim lo taskiru. Do not mention the names of other gods. That's why they, in yeshivos, they won't say the name of the founder of Christianity. They'll say, Otoa Ish, that person, or Yimach Shmo B'Zichro, Yeshu. They won't say his real name, because we're not allowed to mention the name of another god. So to, you can't mention the name of another god, that's an action. Don't say, it's not an action, it's words. Don't say something. So one second. Hani Nami. So now in regards to these other things, let's say kissing or sweeping, lav shebichlalos, so there's a reason why you shouldn't get lashes there, because it's a prohibition that encompasses many sub-prohibitions. We have a rule. As we'll see this a lot in Masechta Makos, there are four types of prohibitions that don't get lashes. Lav she'en bo maisa, prohibition that's not an act. It didn't prohibit an action. Two, lav shebichlalos, a prohibition that includes many sub-prohibitions. Three, lav anita klase, a prohibition that can be fixed by doing a mitzvah sase. And lav anita l'tashlumin, a prohibition that you can fix it by paying, let's say stealing money. You can fix it by paying. So these things are also lav shebichlalos, vein lokal lav shebichlalos. You're never supposed to get lashes for an act that's one of the sub-acts of a prohibition that has many actions in it. The Tanya, as we learned in a Braisa. Which prohibition says that you can't eat an animal before it's dead? Tamaloma, this is the pasuk says, Lo sochla adam. Don't eat on the blood. As long as there's blood in the animal, don't eat it. Davaracher, another explanation. Lo sochla adam, don't eat on the blood. Lo sochlu basar vadayin dam b'mazrik. That's a prohibition that if you have a karban and the blood is in the bowl and it hasn't yet been sprinkled on the altar, you can't eat the meat of the karban yet. That's a second prohibition within the same phrase. Rabbi Dosom Ribdos says a third prohibition in the same phrase. Minayin shein mavin el aruge bezdin. How do we know that when a person is killed by the court, we don't bring the food to his family when they're mourning? Because they're not supposed to mourn for him. Tamalom, that's what the pasuk says, l'sochol adam, don't eat on the blood. Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva says, Minayin l'sanhejin shargus hanefesh, shein tomin klum kolos v'ayom. What's the source that a court that kills someone, that convicts, they can't eat that day? Tamalom, l'sochol adam. That's why the verse says, don't eat on the blood. As Harla ben Sora Moraminayin, we know that if a rebellious son, that's the next chapter, if there's a rebellious son who steals money and he eats meat at a young age in a very wild way, he gets killed. That's the punishment. How do we know there's where's the prohibition? Tamaloma, that's what the verse says again, Lo sochol adam, don't eat on blood, don't eat in a way that's going to get a person killed. Rab Avin bar Kahana, Rab Avin said, Al kulam eino lokeh. If, let's say, a Kohen eats the meat of a carbon before the blood is sprinkled, or if somebody eats the meat of an animal before the animal died, he wouldn't get lashes. Why? Mishum Nahavali lashes b'chalos, because this is a prohibition that has many sub-prohibitions under it. So the same should be true here. Ela kiyasa Ravin Amr Belazar. So when Ravin came to him, Amr Belazar, he said, you're right. Al kulan ein aloke, all the different things mentioned in the Mishnah. Hugging the idol, kissing the idol, sweeping in front of the idol. None of them would you get lashes. Chutz min anoder b'shmo v'amakayim b'shmo. Except if he takes a vow in the name of the idol, or he swears in the name of the idol, then he would get lashes. So now the Gemara asks on this tradition the same question the other way. So maishna hanach to lo laki, why are you saying that on hugging and kissing there's no lashes? Not really lav shemachlalos, because these are activities included in a general lav, in a general prohibition. Hani nami, so swearing in the name of the idol, which is the problem of mentioning the idol. Lav shein bo maisaninu, that's a prohibition that has no act, so there also should be no lashes. Answer the Gemara, Hukri Rabbi Yehuda, that's like the view of Rabbi Yehuda. So Amru said, Lav shein bo maisa, lokin alav, that even when you do a prohibition without an act, you get lashes. What's the source? The Tanya we learned, we know. We have korbanos. We have to eat them within a certain time frame. The Torah says, "Lo sosiru mimenu ad boker." Don't leave anything of the korban until the morning. And then it says, that's the key point, "Va'anosu mimenu ad boker ba'ish tisrofu." And whatever is left till the morning, burn by fire. So why does it say burn by fire? Litinasei achar lo tasei. There's a prohibition, don't leave it till morning. Then there's a positive mitzvah. If it was left till morning, you fix it by burning it. Lomar shein lo kanalav. So once it's a lav, anitzak lasei, it's a prohibition that has a way to fix it. There's no lashes. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that's the view of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yaakov says, lomar hashem uzeh. That's not the correct way of understanding. There's no lashes because it's a prohibition which doesn't have an act. Don't leave it till morning. That's violated by being passive. Any prohibition that has no act ain't lokin olav. There's no lashes. Does this imply Rabbi Yehuda sava? That implies Rabbi Yehuda sava lokin olav. Rabbi Yehuda holds you would get lashes for the fact that it's a prohibition with no act.
Even if you brought it at the end.
Even if you brought it in the morning? No. He seems to be saying that basically the act would create, the violation would have lashes. The Torah says then, it would have had lashes, so the Torah adds, Hashem adds in the Torah, mitzvah tatzei, to take away the possibility of lashes. Implying that without the mitzvah tatzei, there would have been lashes, whereas if according to the sages, we don't need a mitzvah to say to take away lashes, because every prohibition with no act has no lashes. And the fact that Yehuda isn't willing to accept that, he's saying that the reason why there's no lashes is because there's a positive command that implies that he holds lack of action would still have lashes, and that was the tradition that was brought from Israel, that the words of mentioning the idol would get lashes. But hugging the idol wouldn't get lashes. Hugging the idol doesn't get lashes because that's part of a general prohibition, lav shebichlalos. But the words would, because it's following the view of Rabbi Yehuda that even a prohibition of no act can get lashes. So yeah, David, a question. David has a question.
Why is it if there's a number of prohibitions, then I didn't understand that.
So all lashes are derived from the one case where the Torah says explicitly to give lashes, which is the slichos are upstairs. Yeah. All lashes are derived from where the Torah says explicitly there's lashes, which is in the case of muzzling the donkey while it's plowing. Lo tachsom shor b'disho. So that prohibition was an action. Don't plow with the donkey that's muzzled. You're doing something, you're plowing. And second of all, that's a prohibition that's direct. It's not, there's not lots of different ways to violate that. There's one way. If while plowing, it's muzzled. If you plow with the muzzled donkey. So that teaches you that prohibitions that are very broad, that have lots of different actions, are not like the lav of chatzima, or they have no action, they don't get lashes. So now the question is how to apply it over here. Okay. Mr. Gross, the slichos are upstairs. Oh, you went to slichos already? Oh, you did slichos already?
I said slichos.
Okay, great. Okay, great. Wonderful. Yeah, Bezos Hashem. Or upstairs, they don't need it if they don't want to come down. All right. Okay. Yeah, was there another question? Okay, let's continue.
Yeah, Rabbi, you said hugging is lashes?
No lashes.
No lashes.
Okay. All right. Hanoder b'shmo. The Mishnah says if somebody swears in the name of the idol, hareza belota, say it's a prohibition. Asks the Gemara, what's the prohibition? Hanoder b'shmo v'amakayim b'shmo minalan. Where is the verse that says not to swear in the name of an idol? The Tanya, it's the following. Went in a brisa. The verse says, "V'shem Elohim acherim lo tazkiru." Do not mention the name of other gods. Therefore, there's a prohibition to say the name of a foreign idol. And therefore, I can't even mention it in a non-religious context. Shelo yomar adam l'chaveiro, included in this prohibition is that I can't tell my friend, "Shmorli b'tzad avodas kochav plonis." Wait for me next to the following idolatry, next to that religion. Lo yishamal picha, should not be heard through your mouth. Shlo yadar b'shmo, don't swear in its name. Lo yikayim b'shmo, don't take vows in its name. Lo yigrom la'achirim sheyadru b'shmo, you're not allowed to cause others to swear in its name. V'yikayimu b'shmo. Davar achra, another explanation. Lo yishamal picha, can't be heard on your mouth. Azhar lemesis sumediach. That's a prohibition. That's the prohibition to not convince others to worship idols. Understand? Mesis behedik said that. They have separate verses for that. All the Jews will see how he gets punished. The lo yosifu, and they won't continue to do so. El azhar lemediach. Okay, that's the prohibition for someone who convinces a whole group of people to worship idols. Yes. That's good. In the Torah, you're allowed to. We said here in this brisa that included in v'shem Elohim acharim lo saskiru lo yishamal picha is you shouldn't cause others to swear or to vow in the name of another god. That's a proof to the father of Shmuel. The father of Shmuel said, a person's not allowed to be a partner with a very devout idolater. Maybe they'll have a business dispute. He'll say, you owe me money. He says, no, I don't. Swear to me. And he's going to swear in the name of his idol. The Torah says, it shouldn't be heard on your mouth. You shouldn't be causing the name of the idol to be said. Now the Gemara has some stories about this law. According to an idolater, according to the father of Shmuel.
But all the Chinese also all like this, Rabbi.
They're not religious.
No, I used to buy from one Chinese, and she. What? I went to the office. She had one statue, and she had a bag of rice, and she used to put every morning rice for the statue.
Really?
Wow. That was eating.
The reason why swearing is wrong is because it's the mentioning of a god's thing. That's why it's wrong. A story. Ula Bas Bekalnabu. One night, Ula slept in Kalnavo. Amalei Rava. Rava said to him, Echa Basmar, where was the master sleeping? Amalei, Kalnavo, in Kalnavo. Amalei, so he said, Vaksiv, Hashem Elohim Achim Lo Saskiru. But the verse says, don't mention the names of other gods. Why are you saying Kalnavo? Why are you mentioning the name of another god? Amalei, so he said to Malchi Amar Rabbi Yochman, Rabbi Yochman said, Kol Avodas Kochav Maksuv B'Torah, Mutter Lahazkir Shema. If the Torah mentions the idol, then you are allowed to mention its name. Chaksiva, where does it say Navo? Tziv, it says in the following verse, Kara, Baal Karas, Kara Baal Kores Nevo. So it mentions Nevo. Basically, the point of the pasuk is that the idol of Nevo is overwhelmed by what's in its intestines. It has to go to the bathroom, and it can't hold the excrement, so it's like keeling over. Vilo Ksiva Lo. One second. If something is not mentioned in the Torah, you can't mention that idol. I understand, but Masav Rav Misharsha, Rav Misharsha asked the following challenge. In Masechet Nida, we're going to learn that there's something called a Zav. A Zav is somebody who has three sightings of a flow, of a certain type of flow, a gonorrhea discharge. So what happens if he has one long sighting? If the flow is going on and on for a very long time. So the Mishnah says, Ra achas meruba kishalosh, if he has one flow which is as long as three flows, how long is that? It keeps on flowing out as long as it would take to walk magdia on the Shiloh, from God to Shiloh. Shehen shtei tfilos, that's enough time to go to the mikvah twice, ushnei sifugin, and to dry oneself twice. Then I raise a zav gomer, that's considered three flows, and he's a full zlav. So here the Mishnah mentions Magdion, which is a place of Avodah Zarah, even though Magdion is not in the Torah anywhere. So Amar Avinah, Avinah said it is. It's really God, and God, Nami Michtav Ksiv, the Avodah Zarah, God is in the Torah. The Ksiv, as it says, Ha'orchim Lagad Shulchan, those who prepare their tables for the idolatry God. All right, once we mention this Pasuk, so we have to learn a lesson from the Pasuk that we mentioned about Baal Karas Nevo. Rabbi Nachman, Rabbi Nachman taught, Kol Leitzanusa Asira. In general, we're not allowed to make fun of things. All scoffing, all cynicism is not allowed. Chutz mileitzanut zedavodes kochavim desharya. Except for making fun of idolatry, that is allowed. The chesiv of the verse says, Karabel kras nevo. Karsu krau yachtav lo yuchlu maleit masa. The verse is saying that these idols, they couldn't hold all of their idolatry, all of their excrement, and they have to drop their excrement. So that's a sign that the Torah itself is making fun of idolatry. You can see we have another verse also where we see the Torah making fun of idolatry. Dibru le'eglos beis aven, declare of the tragedy that's going to come to the golden calves that are in Beit El. They're going to be taken by the king of Ashur. Yaguru shein shomron, the neighbors of these people, of these idols, those who live in Shomron should be afraid. Ki aval olav amo, for his nation is mourning him. Uchmarav, and those who, the priests of the idolatry, alav yagilu, we will be happy about him. Al kvodo ki golami menu, for their honor that was taken from him. Al tikri kvodo, don't say his honor, but kvedo, they'll be happy that his excrement was able to come out. So again, the verse is making some type of a comment as if the idols, you know, are in the bathroom and they have a lot of excrement that they have to drop. Amar of Yitzchak, Rav Yitzchak said, "My dechilu is meaning of the verse." Va'atu yosifu lachtova yasu lehem asecha mi kaspan kisvunam atzabim. And now they've added to sin, and they've made out of their gold an idol like atzabim. My kisvunam atzabim. What does it mean that they made a form of atzabim? It means that each person used to make a little idol, and he put it in his pocket. And when he wants to think of it, he would take it out of his pocket, he would hug it, and he would kiss it. Then the verse goes on and says, what does it mean? Those who slaughter, who offer people the calves will kiss them. The people who were the priests of the idols, they decided they wanted the money of the rich people. So what did they do? Even in Sagalim, they used to starve their calves. And they would make these idols. And they would put next to where the calves eat idols that look like the rich people. So the calves, whenever they're eating, and they only eat when they're starving, see pictures of these rich people. So then they associate these rich people with food. Then they again starve the calves, and then umotzian osam lachutz, and they send them out into the markets. Kevin Shiro osam, when the calves see the rich people, so they say, oh, that's the food. Ratzanachrein, the calves run after the rich people. Umemashvashin behen, and then they're like, you know, mooing there and like talking to, making a lot of noise as if they recognize them. So then the priest would say, Omulu, they'd say to the rich guy, Avodas kochav mechavitz b'cha. You see, the god, the idol, the cow loves you. It's running after you. It tries to be with you. So you therefore, Yavav yizbach atzmolo. So why don't you go get yourself killed? Let yourself be slaughtered to this god because it likes you so much. And then the guy is thinking, and I'll take your money. So Rava said, if that's what the pasuk is saying, hi, then the verse is it written right? Hi zovchei adam agolim yishakun. It sounds like here those who offer the people, those who slaughter the men, kiss the cows. It should be agolim yishakun. The cows are kissing lizboach adam in order to get a person slaughtered miboyle. That's what it should have said. El Amar Rava, Rava said, this is the meaning of the verse. It's saying like this: Kol Ozoveach is Benolav. What is Kochavim? Anyone who would offer his son to the idols, Omer Lo, the priest would tell him, Doron Gadol Hikriv Lo. You brought a great offering to this idol, Yavu VYishak Lo, and therefore now come and kiss the idol. That's how perverted it was. That not only did they not realize that it was wrong for them to kill their children to the cow, they even celebrated it. They said, oh, you're lucky. The cow was willing to accept your child as an offering. Amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav. It says again about the idols that Sancheriv put in Shomron. What does that mean? What is sukos binos? Tarnagolas. They made idols of chickens. Anshe kut asu et nargal mainiu tarnagol. They made the rooster. That was their idol. Anshe Hamas, the people of Hamas, asu es Ashima, they made an idol of Ashima. What's that? Ashima? Barcha karcha, that's the sheep that doesn't have wool, namely the goats. Ha'avim, asu, nivchaz, vestartak, what are those two things? Kelev v'chamor, they made idols of donkeys and dogs. Ha'safravim, sorfim, espineim, ba'esh, la'adar melech, v'ana melech, elohe sarfavim. Maininu, what are the gods of Sarfavim where they burn their kids to? Adar melech, v'ana melech. That is, ha'pered v'asus, the mule and the horse. Adar melech, the adar le'lamari b'tzina, why is he called Adar melech? The mule is called the king because he actually has to carry the weight of his master. And Anamelech, the horse, Dani Lelamari Bekrava, he responds to his master in war. He is a battler. He's one who fights in wars. Af Hiskia, so to Hiskia. Melech Yehuda, the king of Yehuda, Bikesh Aviv Lasas Lokain, his father, also wanted to burn him in a fire. Ela she sachto imo salamandra, his mother smeared him with the blood of the salamander, and that caused the fire not to destroy him. Amrav Yudah, Marav Yudah, said Rav Yodon, Yisrael, Bavodes, Kacham, Shem, Mamish. All the Jews knew, even at the time of the golden calf, that idolatry is nothingness. Why did they do it? They did it so that they shouldn't feel bad about the fact that they wanted to engage in illicit marital relations. So therefore, they said, oh, we'll worship another god, because they knew that if they'd be loyal to Hashem, they would get Musar, they'd get rebuke from Moshe Rabbeinu. Rabbi Hananya ben Akashi Omer,